Welcome to the Smarticle Podcast, where we take a good article and make it gooder.
Hello. Welcome to a God Talk Friday on the Smarticle Podcast. Brandon is wearing a white linen robe, preparation to become spiritual today. Before we get to anything related to God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, whatever, we're going to give you 5 seconds of silence, brought to you by Smarticle. All right, Brandon, happy God Talk Friday to you and yours.
Thank you, Larry.
I love when you go to the low voice. I love. It sets me in the mood.
I thought it was interesting that you just referenced God and Jesus, but I would like to reference Allah, Buddha, and whomever it is that you're subscribing to at this time.
Okay, Brandon, you know what we're going to do today?
What are we going
to
do?
We're going to tend to the fire within you. We're going to tend to that fire, Brandon.
I do have a fire within me, Larry. It's true.
Our friends at the Center for Action and Contemplation going through a series called Tending the Fire Within. Today's post is Spirituality as Radical Resilience. Here is a smidge. Attending to our spirituality is an essential skill for radical resilience. The kinds of challenges and adversities in life that demand radical resilience usually cause pain and suffering. We cannot handle pain and suffering without spiritual support. However, not all religions or spiritual belief systems are helpful for radical resilience. Any religion or spiritual belief system that is judgmental, punitive, rigid, or exclusive is a potential obstacle to resilience. Here's the last part. If we haven't paid much attention to deepening our spiritual life as we've become adults, we're likely to lack the spiritual resources we'll need to be radically resilient. Our childhood understanding of spirituality is usually not adequate when we experience the kind of adversity that changes our life forever. When we search for the meaning of what has happened to us and we search for an understanding of who we are when we can't do what we used to do or be who we used to be, then we need spiritual resources that go deeper. I love this post, Brandon, because most of us usually kind of go to church when we're little. We think about God in a certain way, and then life happens. And you stop going because church sucks. And then all of a sudden, something bad happens in your life, and you want that, like, spiritual muscle you've got. But all you've got is, like, your fourth grade Sunday school spiritual muscle, and it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Like, isn't that, like, a beautiful story?
Do you remember there was a show, Valerie Bertinelli?
Yeah, is that
One Day at a Time, was that it?
Oh, I remember One Day at a Time.
Okay.
Single mom raising her two daughters.
Right. There was an episode on there where, I can't remember what happened. Something bad happened, and they talked about the fact, and I was a little kid. I mean, you and I were little. That was the 70s, so I was, I don't know, eight, whatever. But I remember them talking about how they were talking about the fact that they only sought God during this bad time, and that wasn't right. And it's, I don't know why it stuck with me, but it's always stuck with me about why that is. Now, you and I were both raised in churches, and we had lots of parents around us talking about God and stuff, but there's lots of people that were not raised in any church at all or any experience at all still come through, and I think this is the universal thing that I would posit, if you will, Larry, is that everybody needs something, whether they need a Christian church or a mosque or synagogue or whatever, you know, a Hindu temple, they need something. And in those difficult times, I think what this is talking about is how do we prepare for those difficult times so that when they come at us, we're prepared for them. That's that radical resiliency she's talking about.
I would agree with that. And so, and I agree with everything that's been posited here. Like, we have faith-ish, kind of, sort of, and then something bad happens in our adult life, and we want faith and spirituality again, but we're not prepared for it. So, like, how do you know, who's listening to the show and it's not like, I don't know, I find it hard to relate to people that don't want anything to do with spirituality. I get God, Jesus, Christians, crazy people, I get that. But as this says, like, life comes at you really hard. You need some sort of spirituality to be able to deal with, like, the crazy things that life gives you. You have to.
Yeah, it's interesting because something, recently my family had to confront a very, very challenging situation. And I've thought a lot about it, about the idea of, had I been a person without faith, that there would have been a lot of anger in me. Mm. And there's not a lot of anger in me about it. It's not easy, but I think that the only reason I'm able to even sort of confront this situation is because, and my wife is also confronting it, and it's because I don't doubt God's love for me. Now, you could say, oh, that's ridiculous. You made that up. I'm like, whatever. The bottom line is I do have radical resiliency. I'm not going to just fall apart and die. I have this idea that I believe that had I stopped my faith journey at 8 years old and not traveled through life, and it changes. Right? I was thinking about this idea. If you're in a place where there's a lot of, I can't remember the exact verbiage used in the sentence, but basically where there's a lot of judgment and, you know, kind of bad people. And you and I have been in churches with arrogant, egotistical pastors and blah, blah, blah. As I've gotten older, I don't care about them. I don't care what the pastor says. I don't care what the elders say. I don't care what anyone says. If they come at it from a place, from anything other than God's grace, I don't care. I don't. You could tell me I'm going to go to hell. That's fine. You could say that I'm not following all the rules the way you want me to follow them. That's fine. I just don't care. And the reason is because my journey in life has led me. I've seen a lot in my time. And I think about people that are even older than me. Wisdom teaches us. This lady that wrote this was an Episcopal priest in Portland, Oregon. And I read her bio just out of curiosity. I actually read her obituary. And she had just done so much in her life. And so she's writing this missive from a place of experience. She'd seen divorces and deaths and marriages and all the things in life through the context of an Episcopal priest, but also as a human being. That's going to mold you one way or the other. And if you don't have that sort of resiliency built into you, you're in trouble. And so that, for me, that's what I took from this.
So song. Like, you know, if you divorce, death, disease, life, whatever it is, whatever you're going to run into in life, some particular point, you're going to run into something that's not going to make sense on the basic level of how we deal with it as human beings. So then what do you do?
Right.
So there's this, and by the way, I'm not making out God be a magician or whatever, but at some particular point, religion is this other way of being able to deal with something that cannot make sense. It's like trying to explain beauty sometimes. That's why we have art, because sometimes things are just, words can't describe them. You need art. In life, something's not going to make sense, and you need spirituality, religion, to be able to help you cope with. And we've been doing this forever. And by the way, I still want to reiterate, it's not a magic trick. It's, I don't know if it's God's way, the universe's way, but there's just another way to make sense of stuff that's unmakesensible.
Yeah, and I think at the core of what she was trying to say in this is it's not just a belief. It's not just like, oh, I believe in God as magical and mystical and whatever God is. It's a practice. It's a daily, I would love to say every single day I follow this practice of being whatever. And it's not true. I haven't. But I've done more than not. And so when I get into these situations, it's not hitting me in the face like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. I know how to lean into this, into my faith. And that comes from practice. And that's what she talks about, is that you practice your faith by doing whatever you're going to do. So this article just struck me that as that simple.
There is ample evidence, scientific research, that prayer is beneficial for human beings. Like, by the way, prayer, meditation, right? Now, when you pray for someone to get healed, they're not necessarily going to get healed. But they've done enough research on the brain to know that when you pray or take that time, it transforms you as a human being into something else. Meditation the same way. 12 steps the same way. Like, itching that part of your brain that's spiritual transforms you into something else. And you're right. It's like it has to be a practice, or else you just don't build up the part of your brain.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she referenced the fact that you can find this through yoga or meditation or 12-step program, but at the core, it's the practice that does it. You know, I think she would argue that God is part of this. She said, you know, we might also find spiritual support through our religious traditions, 12-step program, or meditative practice such as Tai Chi, mindfulness, meditation, or yoga. However, not all religions or spiritual belief systems are helpful for radical resilience. So she's saying that it's not just doing something, it's how you do it that's important. And if you're surrounded by judgmental people that make you feel bad about yourself, no matter what you do, it's not going to make you radically resilient. It's just going to beat you down. I think about a lot of the stuff that's out there that people struggle with. And then you see these people that you think are trying to help them, but what you really realize is they're just playing out their own ego. We talked about this at some point where why I think Gen Z, I just released a best of, and I think Gen Z Christians, why they're leaving. And I didn't, you know, I'm trying to remember if it was from that. It doesn't really matter. But the point was, this young woman goes to a church. They're all loving on her. And then after she's sort of in the fold, they start layering on top of her all the things that she's not doing right. She's not dressing right. She's not acting right. It's like, you're missing the point. I don't give a shit what someone thinks about my soul. And what I mean by that is not that I don't care that you're caring about my soul, but what I mean is, you don't have any control over my soul. Only God has control over my soul. So you could say, oh, you're not doing this right and this right and this right. I'm like, well, you're Calvinist, or you're this, or you're that, or you're Wesleyan, or you...
Oh, I want to be a Calvinist.
Like, you've got this weird vision of faith. Okay, good on you, but don't layer that on me, because right now I'm going through what I'm going through, and I don't want to hear your crap when it comes to my faith.
Well, I feel like, to wrap this up, to me, is that if a religion...
I said a swear word on the God Talk Friday. Thanks a lot, Brandon.
Religion, spiritual, whatever. I feel like what this thing said to me is, if it is not making you more of a peaceful person, and it, then it's not religion. It's like something else.
I don't know if religion is necessarily the right word, as much as it's certainly not a practice that's making you a better person, because yoga is not a religion necessarily. I guess you could turn it into one. But the idea of a practice to center yourself, to balance yourself, just like you said, so that when you are, I always thought about this when played football, and I had a couple coaches that would talk about this. It's like, look, we're not practicing for the first quarter. We're practicing for the fourth quarter.
Ooh.
So that when you are in, when you're in it and you're tired and you're up against it, you don't have to think about what you're doing. You've prepared yourself for this. And I'm sure that it's the same thing. Like a priest that goes in and has to meet with a grieving family, if that's the, if they've never done any training around that, they're just going to flub along in that. So it's probably like that with anything. It's the practice of doing something that's important. That's what makes us better at it.
And you're not doing it just to do it, to practice it. It's because it also, in the moment, brings you peace. The practice of it is the actual thing.
Yeah, it's, I think it's probably a multifaceted thing, right? It's not just one thing. But this was talking about, how do we have radical resiliency? How do we deal with those difficult times? I mean, there's also the important, I don't know, side effect, benefit, whatever you want to call it, of finding centered peace in your life when things are just a normal day, just going through. Like, you get up and greet the sun. I mean, on a normal day, that's going to bring you some sense of connection, of grounding, of whatever. So,
you know,
I think it's both and.
I don't know lots, Brandon, but I do know that for me, I have found radical resiliency in dealing with you every day. So, like, literally doing this podcast has brought me the resilience to be, like, dealing with a giant turd bag like you has taught me that, you know what, I could do it. Every day I can.
So
what,
on a God Talk Friday, is it okay to call someone a turd bag,
but it's
not okay to say other things?
You brought me exactly what this is talking about, radical resilience. Your turd bagness.
I would like to ask our listeners, and especially one 86-year-old woman named Pat, to just pray for you, Larry, that you would begin to see the grace that's all around you. That's what I'd like to thank you for teaching us about grace and radical resiliency today.